Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. In front of me is my only best friend in the world because Calvin was going to go help his sister. Hi, Casey. Thank you for taking away my friend so you can move in. But my friend, Philip, go ahead and let the people hear your name.
I don't got nothing to do with that, Calvin. That's all on Alan. Secondly, Philip Dixon, a.k.a. the tour man, because I love to give tours to the heart. Let's get it.
Okay. You're back. You're in playoff form, because that was awful.
Phillip, yes, sir.
You got something to get off your chest. So let's go ahead and give you the tip off this week. Let's hear what you got to say.
All right. Listen, so today is what? May 16th, 2022. A Monday. This morning I got up and I saw that Patrick Beverly was on Get Up or whatever that new Morning Time broadcast is called, right? First Take, whatever. Patrick Beverly is up there talking to Stephen A. Smith, and it's been headlines, it's been talked about the whole day so far today about how Patrick Beverly really went at the head of Chris Paul. Now listen. People over here, like Matt Barnes, upset, talking about reporters and people in the media. Matt, Patrick Beverly not a reporter. Patrick Beverly not in the media. Patrick Beverly is someone who wiles out on the court in the confines of the rules of the game. ESPN said, here's some money. We know Chris Paul not doing too well. So we know you don't like Chris Paul. So come on this show and do what you do. And Patrick Beverly did just that. He went on the show and did what he did in accordance to Chris Paul. Called that man a cone. Said, yeah, we call him cone because just like in the summertime, you know, you go around cones, what do cones do? Stephen A. Smith said, what? He said, stand still. CP3 don't play no defense, and everybody know that. He can't play defense. Everybody knows that. He said, me and Paul George talking about how no one's scared of no one on Phoenix. People scared of Luka. Ain't no one scared of no one on Phoenix. But he was going at Chris Paul's neck. And people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Don't blame Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly keeping the same energy at all times. Blame ESPN if you want to blame anything from giving that nigga a mic. Don't blame the individual in this instance. Patrick Beverly has been the exact same guy since I've been keeping track of him. Alan, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. That's why he's one of my favorite players in the league. Just watching his antics and hearing him talk, like, listen, that's entertainment.
The exact same player every single year, every single time he gets to the playoff, every single time he was the – people loved him when he went at Lonzo Ball for his first game. LeBron should have been talking all that. It don't matter if it's Lonzo Ball as a rookie in the first game or if it's Chris Paul at age 37. Patrick Beverly keeps the same energy. Depending on how you feel about the opposite person he's going at, depends on how you feel about it. Because remember, he injured Russell Westbrook.
He did. I wasn't messing with him for a while after that.
That wasn't this L.A. Lakers Westbrook. That was like prom OKC Westbrook. Everybody loved Russell. The whole thing. Everybody hate him then. Went at Lonzo. Yeah, everybody love him then. All of a sudden now, he doing this against Chris Paul. Not even on the court. This is a personality. Right? Patrick Beverly once said, he don't have any real friends in the league. He don't want no friends in the NBA. He only got three friends in the league. And he named three people from the South Side of Chicago. That's Patrick Beverly. He don't want your sympathy. He don't want your accolades. He gonna keep it 100 to what he thinks 100. You don't have to agree with him, but he keeps the same energy. And people like Matt Barnes, and you're gonna have all these TikTok think tanks and all these people trying to critique him on Twitter and this, that, whatever. You can talk all you want. But this man, once again, it don't matter if it's Lonzo Ball's a rookie, 19 years old or wherever he was, or Chris Paul at 37 years old, he gonna keep that same energy on and off the court. So either you love him or you hate it for him. But don't be faking. Once again, this man is not a media personality. This man is not here for the, you know, he's not a reporter. He don't have no podcast. This man literally woke up one day, went to ESPN because for, you know, logistics, whatever. I don't care about that. He on the show. They give him the mic, and he going to keep the same energy on and off the court. So if they brought him to ESPN and didn't expect him to be like, even say anything wild, he just kept it honest to what he thought was honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't say nothing crazy. He's like, this is what I think. This is what me and the boys talk. Now you got Dame Lillard out here like, oh, you talking about private conversations and you going bad at him, all kind of stuff. He'll go, man, he'll do the same thing to you. It don't matter. Because he keeps the same energy. So don't be faking like you love him this. You love him when he is going at a player you dislike, but you hate him when he's going at a player you like. You got to just love him for the consistency. That's all I got to say. So that's my tip off.
Yeah, man. Look, if Patrick Beverley wasn't thinking about a media career after he's retired, he just got one. Like I already offered. It's like, if you're trying to do a show ASAP, I will produce it for free. Just to be around Patrick Beverley, see him get his takes off. Yeah. Yeah. I'd easily go in a hole to watch that.
It's just gonna be 100%. Patrick Beverley. Yeah, it's just one of them guys that you don't want to hear talk. But because there's a difference, right? Remember when Paul Pierce was on ESPN? Well, he was giving hot takes, but you definitely don't believe what you're saying, right? Or like there's dudes who are like the NBA player equivalent of like a Skip Bayless, who just throwing takes out. And you know they don't believe it, but it's just like, you know, for ratings and all kind of stuff, and, you know, makes them stand out, whatever. Patrick Beverley, you felt it, you heard it, and you just knew that he was just saying what he really thought. Because none of it was wild. Like, he didn't say nothing ignorant. He just said things that you can tell by the way he plays basketball and how he plays basketball against other people, that he truly believes what he was saying. You know what I mean? And it wasn't about the take. It's about, you ask me a question, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you.
We need to have Patrick Beverley mic'd up for like the entire season. I know half of it's gonna be bleeped out, but I'd pay good money for that.
I think
that's the show right there. Just him mic'd up for the entire season, yeah.
Listen, but you can't have Patrick Beverley on no ESPN. Get him to TNT quick. Listen. Oh, Charles Barkley. Listen. ESPN. I'll tell you the difference. ESPN are basketball personalities and analysts trying to pretend like they're analysts, but they're like actually just entertainers. At TNT, they entertainers who every so often analyze something. You know what I mean? And so TNT not trying to fake what they are. They're like, hey, you want to laugh? You want to come over here? We have a good time. And that's why ESPN tries to format their stuff like TNT. TNT don't try to format their stuff like ESPN. Because ESPN's like, oh, you got to pretend to be an analyst and know about the knowledge of basketball kind of stuff. And TNT's like, you want to just do a bit and like have in basketball sprinkled throughout it as we talk about the highlights? They literally showcase Charles Barkley sleeping during games. That, but it's not about the analytic side and the mind of basketball for them. It is, we're going to entertain you through the format of basketball. ESPN is, we're going to pretend like we're showcasing the knowledge of basketball with a little bit of entertainment put into it. Patrick Beverly don't need to be with ESPN. Patrick Beverly needs to be with TNT if he so chooses to do so.
What? I think Shaq and Patrick Beverly on like the same TV show would be awful. Like they're going to fight. They're going to fight at least three or four times a season. And I don't mean like verbally, like he do with Charles. I mean like they go get up and square up.
Yeah, maybe, but like cool. You know what I mean? But like I imagine Patrick Beverly and Shaq would be like analyst wise would be like the equivalent of Shaq and Nate Robinson when they played for the Celtics. You know, one, they both competitive, but one's just like, they both kind of goofy on the low. Or not even low. Shaq's really
goofy. Yeah, ain't no on the low.
And Nate Robinson was like, just like, he had no personality, and he didn't really have a real personality outside of dunk contests until you, you know, you saw him with certain people that kind of showcased that. I think Patrick Beverly would kind of be the exact same thing of, you know, Shaq, you know, oh, Patrick Beverly, I really don't agree with you much, but you're my little one. You're my little boy, my son. You know what I mean? And Patrick Beverly used to be like, I don't want to imitate this man because it's going to be a lot of bleeps. You know what I mean? But it'd be the same thing, right? It'd be the equivalent analyst-wise, as it would be of like Nate Robinson and Shaq for the Celtics on court.
Yeah. Goofy. But Patrick Beverly, I'm dead ass, full time employee for free. If you want to do a TV show, just DMs is always open, Playboy. But no, I guess we got to move on to the worst game sevens to ever be played. I am glad that I had a 15-hour drive and I can only tune in for the radio because there's no reason for an NBA team to have 27 points at the half. Like, I don't know how that is physically possible to have 27 points at the half for NBA players. Like that is a wild, bro. That's almost a point a minute.
That is ignorance. That's what that is.
Like, I understand having like a slow start shooting wise. But that has to be the equivalent of like the Rockets going 0-27.
That
might be worse.
The fact that Luka had just as many points by himself as their team did, and your team includes Devin Booker, I don't know what that means. But for a guy, speaking of myself, who had the Phoenix Suns going to the finals, I'm glad they didn't, because that's ignorant. Like, you don't even deserve to go to the finals you doing something like that. You don't deserve to get past this series if you do any ignorant stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I'm not even like a Luka guy. Like, if you listen to the podcast, you know that. I'm not like a Luka, I'm not a Luka hater, but I'm not like a, you know, I'm not going to the front of the parade for Luka. But I do wish all the best to Jason Kidd. He's one of my favorite players of all time. As a coach, I think he's been done dirty a couple times. And for a couple of his firings. So the fact that he is actually able to go this far in the playoffs is like a really good thing for him, and I appreciate that. But you're like going up against the best, and the best score 27 points and a half, and they're in the NBA, and they have a quote-unquote Hall of Famer.
They were in the finals last year.
Chris Paul had a game this year, or this playoff series, well, not playoff series, this playoffs, when he shot 14 for 14 from the field. 27 points in the first half. That is embarrassing. Luka laughing at him.
He should be. He should be.
The press conference, he literally said, "They like, did you know that you had 27 points? That was the same points as the whole team." Yeah, I did. That's crazy. You let this boy just laugh at you? Nah, that ain't it. You, Chris Paul might get his Hall of Fame revoked from that little incident alone. Devin Booker is good. Devin Booker makes scoring a basketball look very easy, like weirdly easy. But this can't be something, this being the 27 points in the first half. This can't be something that if you know about basketball, you just forget about. Like, this has to be like a notch against both of them. And you can't say, well, Chris Paul's age. Look at what he's had. Well, look at what he's been doing up to the last two games. Look at what he's been doing. Devin Booker is not in his prime, but he's like there. You know what I mean? Like, he's there. No, 5, 6, 7 years on the road. I mean, I saw how picky people were, and I was one of them with LeBron. If you go into the Hall of Fame, you are, quote-unquote, top 5 point guard of Chris Paul. You are, you know, top 5, 6 players of, like, this generation, Devin Booker. This is a knock. This is a big, big knock. Especially when it's going against Devin Booker, someone who was, like, the exact same generation as you. Being Luka, right? He did you dirty. And once again, I said it last week, this has to be what people felt with Larry Bird, because this is ignorant. Like, you, it is what it is at this point, you know what I mean? But, you know, this next series is coming up, and it won't be easy for either team.
Oh, no, not at all. But it will be way more entertaining than what we saw last night, like, by far. I feel like there's two things that really comes out of this game 7. Because the Suns played so poorly, I find it hard to give like any credit to the Mavericks. Like, yeah, they played a good game. Jalen Brunson has emerged as being like one, like top 10, top 15 point guard in the league right now. Spencer Dinwiddie did. What'd you say?
I said chill, but okay.
Hey, when you start going through the point guards, he wanted them. Spencer Dinwiddie did like legendary Spencer Dinwiddie things.
Yeah, that was.
But I don't.
Chill out, dog.
Like, this is. I'm not chilling out. Spencer.
That was wild.
Oh.
Dude was killing him. Dude had 4 threes. Dude had 4 threes with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened to the Suns. But if you notice, like, throughout this series, let's say, like, the last 4 games, they fell off a cliff. Like, their production has just gotten worse and worse each of the last 4 games. And maybe I got to re-watch the series. I can't pinpoint, like, where it is. Like, last year, when the Suns started to, like, fall apart against the Lakers, you could tell what the issue was. Chris Paul could not use his arm. Like, there's nights where Devin Booker is not having a good score at night, and you can tell what it is. Like, they just look lethargic. Like, how in the world is Chris Paul and Devin Booker combined for over 11 shooting in the first half? You mean to tell me between the two of you only took 11 shots?
How in the world did you let a fan from the other team put his hands on one of your family members, and then you lose in game 7 by the biggest deficit in game 7 in the history of the NBA? Dog, like, you couldn't get no rah-rah speech? Like, I literally thought that moment, just from, like, a competitive standpoint, would push them over the hump to really go and take out the Mavericks. Like, in the past podcast, That was like my line of thinking. Little did I know that the opposite would happen. Like I don't know what the catalyst for this collapse was. Man. But it had to be something. Because 27 points in the first half of an NBA, of professional basketball players. And I mean, like, outside of Luka, outside of three players. The three players on the Suns, the three best players on the Suns, and three best players on the Mavericks are arguably even. You know, if you, like, not, like, individual, but, like, if you just combine all three of them together, they're even in terms of production, what they bring to the table, and intangibles, and all that kind of stuff. So they're role players, and I think Phoenix genuinely has the best role players in the NBA outside of Milwaukee. We'll get to that in a second, right? But generally speaking, they're the best role players. They know the role. They do exactly what they need to do, so on and so forth. They don't try to do too much, whatever. 27 points is abnormal. Like, something had to have happened. Yeah. Like, it's too strange. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy whatsoever, but 27 points is so abnormal for a team that good that it makes me wonder, like, what was, like, some outside distraction or whatever, you know what I mean?
You worry about a team that good for an NBA team, period. 27 points at the half, that is... Philip, I scout high school basketball for a living. I cannot name how many times I have seen high schoolers have 27 points at the half this summer during AAU play. And I've been watching like 15U heavy. Like, this is...
27 points is the amount of points and a half the Nets scored when Gerald Green was one of their best players. That is not a team. That is a team you forget about all day long. The only reason I remember it because I was alive.
Yeah. That Gerald Green slander over here, though.
You should never be one of your best players. But he's an all-time... He's the bounciest journeyman of all time. But once again, bounciest journeyman don't equal one of your best players. The fact that 27 points reminds me of like a team that atrocious, and you had Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and when we get to Deonte Ayton. Ayton, come on now. That make no sense. But once again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, what kind of outside, not influence, but what kind of like outside distraction maybe? Like, what's going on for them to play that poorly in a game seven? Okay, how about this? People have labeled Chris Paul as one of the greatest competitors in NBA history.
One of the greatest leaders.
Chris Paul, what is it? He's lost the last four or five game sevens? Something like that. He's lost the last four or five game sevens. That takes a hit. That takes a hit. The more Chris Paul, see, it's weird because Chris Paul, people say the top five point guard in the NBA ever. The longer he plays at a high level, a season, his Achilles heel is the playoffs. So the things that like that raises him up to the level of being a top five point guard of all time, it's like diminishing his legacy the older he gets. Does that make sense? It's a very strange thing. Because, like you said, leadership, competitiveness, you know, Chris Paul going at you, it's like the intangible things that people look at to place him that high on an all-time list. So all of a sudden, he's getting older, and he's still good, but the one knock about him is playoff success. And for a lot of that, he was hurt, yes. But for the times he's not hurt, you get this.
Yeah.
And that's got to, like, take a... That's got to be a negative... That's a negative on his legacy. It just has to be. Then there's no disclaimers. There's no, like, asterisks, nothing. This is just a bad look for him overall. or it will be a backup for him overall. When, like, he was retired and you look back on it. Unless next year he comes back and just wins again. But, like, that's not how the NBA works. Unless you're LeBron, that's not how the NBA works. You know what I mean? Unless, literally, unless you're LeBron, Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, Magic Johnson, Larry, like, you literally name on two hands the amount of people that's been established for, that kind of worked for, like, we won't be here this year, we'll be back next year, right? For, like, a 5-4 year stretch, Steph Curry, right? But Chris Paul, he hasn't proven that, he's there. And he's 37. Next season, he will turn 38. And once again, we've seen a lot of people, you know, at the end of their careers, and there's only a couple that age gracefully.
And he most is not of them, one of them.
Most of them not 6'2", 6'3". Just saying.
Nice. You're being nice by saying he's 6'2".
Listen, I'm just going about the NBA, about NBA statistics. But most of them not that age, you know what I mean? Or the height. And most of them don't have the injury proneness of Chris Paul. It may be a wrap. I'm not saying it is, but he not making it easy for me to say it's not.
Yeah, like the ceiling is definitely not at the 10th floor anymore. Seventh, maybe sixth floor. Sorry.
We're not being a product of the moment. Because yes, he dropped 14 points, or he made all 14 field goals one game early this playoffs, right? He had a good playoffs. But the Chris Paul's Achilles is, the longer the season goes, the less durable he is, or the less productive he becomes. One of the two is bound to have happened. Yeah. And sometimes they coincide. You know what I mean? Like, they come hand in hand. And this year, unless something is hidden, we don't know about something, which, once again, that's just speculation. It seems that he just took a big nosedive off a cliff. But that also doesn't explain Devin Booker this last game. So,
man. So, like you were saying earlier, you're not a conspiracy theorist, but I got a couple tinfoil hats. So I got two things that come to my mind. What happened to Chris Paul had the team so emotional that they couldn't quite get it together. Like, that is my biggest thing. Like, everybody's upset. That's your leader. That's your captain. That's the dude that you've been looking up to. Because you got to remember, all of these dudes are like our age. So they've all seen Chris Paul do what Chris Paul has been doing for half their life. Your leader, your best friend, the man you've been looking up to, the one that you look at as a mentor, has his family touched, and you guys never quite make it back to your equilibrium. So you can't play the way you want to because you emotional. Like, that's number one.
I get that. Hold on for a second. Let me respond to this first one first. I get that. It's going to be a real quick response. I get that, but that's not your mama. You know what I mean? Like, your mom wasn't touched up. Like, I understand that, like, we've been with Chris Paul our whole lives, and, you know, now you're on the same team as Chris Paul. But at the end of the day, you in the league to do the best you can do, because you, not Chris Paul, you can get traded. Like, you can get traded, and people will forget about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are dispendable. Unfortunately, you're a human being, but you're a human being playing professional sport. You aren't in control of all your stuff unless you're a free agent. You can't afford, like, I understand that could be a reasoning, but you aren't in the position to where that I can allow that to be an excuse for you.
Where I differ, you young, you're emotional, and if this is really being your man's, like, this is the person that got you to that next level, if he is distraught, then you distraught. You know you've been around that one or two friends that they just can't get over if something else happened to their friend. And I think that's part of what happened to the team. The second one is, it feels like they had a fight. because they didn't play as a team. Like, there were moments where it's not selfish play, but nobody had energy. Like, nobody came to play game seven.
Like, okay, let's say they did have a fight. Two things. One, that's a knock on Chris Paul's leadership. If, and this is very, you know, hypothetical, right? We agree with that. If there was some kind of, like, riff that says something on Chris Paul's leadership. But two, as a case, that's not the only team that's happened with him. The Clippers teams were notorious for that. So if that was the case, that is also a hit on his leadership from a different standpoint. So if you look at this with your tinfoil hat on, if you look at this through just logic from what you see with your own eyes and with not trying to, you know, think about anything outside of what you can see, this takes a hit on Chris Paul's leadership. And leadership is a top three intangible thing he brings to the court, supposedly. So you listen, this is the kind of game you can't forget about when it comes to Spider's legacy. Oh, you know, you live in the moment and, you know, he had a whole large career before this. That career is not without its faults either. But you only had a couple things. And the older you get, the more leadership you should establish. And this takes a hit. I mean, it just does. And I'm not a Chris Paul hater by any means, but this definitely takes a hit. Or makes his legacy take a hit, excuse me.
You are correct. Philip, we're going to have to establish a talking stick because you done cut me off twice now. We have beef now, young fella. But
sorry.
Yeah. But let's say all of that is true. What I am noticing in both situations that you brought up, Phoenix and with the Clippers, there was a young dude who was clearly up next, or at least thought he was up next on both of those teams. It is really hard to slow down that future superstar. We see this all the time with tandems. If with that older leader, unless you are a dominant player, like even like one thing that comes to mind, LeBron and Kyrie. LeBron's so good that it does not matter that Kyrie Irving decides to get upset and he wants to leave. That's the case. Chris Paul, on the other hand, is shorter than you. And he's close to my size. If we're playing a really physical game, you can only do so much. So we already know Chris Paul is limited in that aspect. And on top of that, we know he's injury prone and he's just getting old. If that dominant player, who is obviously bigger than them, wants to go over his head, literally and figuratively, they can't. So I'm not blaming Devin Booker. I'm not blaming Ayton. I'm not blaming any of the guys on that team. I'm just saying they did not look like a team that day, and they surely did not look like a team that wanted to play for each other. 27 points at the half? You left. You know what it is? You got all your talent sucked out by them little aliens from Space Jam. Like, that's the only excuse you have at that point. Like, the only thing that could have made this better is if they were, like, tripping over each other. Or if they just, like, didn't look coordinated. Like, that would have been, like, my only excuse. Like, okay, they all got the flu or something. But we got to move on, man. We got to move on. Because we can talk about this all day. Because it's ugly. It's
wacky.
This is going to be the storyline that goes into the summer, because some of the stuff that I was like reading and looking at, they're talking about like not blowing up their core players, but like blowing up the roster. And like you were saying, this is the second best like bench unit in the league. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, oh, they'll make it back to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have 27 points, we immediately look and like, I don't know if this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And that's really weird because they have a really good rotation at every single position.
Like, yeah.
They got three big men that I would love to have on every single team. They all play well.
Yeah.
They have a ton of wing depth. They got Campaign coming off the bench, but Campaign has figured out how to be a solid backup point guard. Like, there's...
Bad defender, though.
Yeah, it's not even...
They literally couldn't play him this series because Luka would switch on him every single time and abuse him. So he had to take him out.
I get what you're talking about. Luka was abusing every single person on that team. Like, it did not matter who it was. He was giving everybody the business.
There's a difference between, like, bullying somebody and abusing somebody. Luka bullies people, but he was making Cam look like a boy. And it was like, when you watched it, it was like, oh, like, instead of having to hard dribble back you down 5 times and then score, it was hard dribble back you down 2 times and score. You know what I mean? Like he was making him look crazy. And like so
he
much
to Cam Johnson. Like everybody was pick your poison.
It was, but he made Campaign look like, he looked crazy. I'm not going front with you. Like, y'all both grown men. Like, it looked like one of them things. Like, at least Cam Johnson was, like, there. Luka stood up, and you couldn't even see him. It was crazy.
Look. Let's go ahead and move on, because something else that's going to be crazy is how much the Bucks need Chris Middleton. Like, we've been talking about this, like, for a long time, just, like, as fans. Like, I'm one of those people, I remember, 3 years ago, we did a podcast where we just talked about players that we would love to see play on, like, be the feature player for their own team. Like, whether they be good or bad, we just want to see what that looks like. And Chris Middleton was one of those players. And he proved that he is extremely needed for the Bucks. Like, Giannis is going to be Giannis. The numbers he has put up in the last couple games have been ridiculous. Like, for the last 2 games, he is averaging 22.5 rebounds and 30-plus points. That's a bad man. Jrue Holiday is trying. I remember last year with their title run. For me, their biggest bugaboo is always going to be Jrue Holiday, because Jrue Holiday is not good offensively. Like, he's a solid finisher. He's one of the best perimeter defenders, but he is a 1.5-way player. Like, his offense is not what you're looking at. And this is a dude that made an all-star game. When did he make an all-star game? Almost 10 years ago. It's been a long time. He's like 21. He never had any facial hair back then. Like, Chris Middleton is the entire linchpin for this team, and we saw that the last couple games. Like, after he got injured, you could see how much they needed him, because they could not score. Like, Grayson Allen's on the floor. You said what?
My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Like, they cannot score without him. Like, he really, like, I wouldn't say he initiates the offense, but he's needed to be there. Like, he is the only real offensive creator at around, like, 6'7", 6'8", that can do anything. Like, your next guy up that's around that size is, like, Pat Connaughton. And if you're asking Pat Connaughton to score 20 points, you've probably lost the game already. Like, I can't think of another big-time scorer on that team. You don't really need it when Chris Middleton can give you about, like, 22 points a game. And, of course, Giannis is there for 30 on a good night. You can get 15 out of Jrue Holiday easy. Especially when there's, like, other talent around him to kind of, like, take the pressure off, dude. But the Celtics. The Celtics got it all. Like, Jaylen Brown. We're not talking enough about him this playoffs. Like, this man has been an elite number two option who doesn't feel like a number two option. Like, he is squarely, if we redid that podcast about guys who we would like to see be on that own team, Jaylen Brown might not make the cut, but he's in consideration. Like, he's not in my top five guys I want to see play by themselves, but he can go get a bucket. And then you're talking about Tatum and Tatum. Tatum wanted them. Tatum's special at this point.
I think it's more of a 1A, 1B thing. Like, honestly, depending on what month of the year it is, depends on who the best player on the team is. Like, Tatum his game is a lot smoother. Jaylen Brown, he's a lot more, you know, nose to the pavement. That's why he dunks on everybody. That's why, Jason Tatum, if you just want to see a step back three, nothing but net, cool. Jaylen Brown, his highlights are very versatile. Like, very versatile, right? Like, inside, outside, he'll hit you with a mid-range. He'll dunk on you. He'll with a crazy post move. It's very, very versatile. So I think it depends on the month, depends on who the best player is. Real quick, Chris Middleton, just to go into this real quick, his value just skyrocketed. All this playoff series proved was Giannis cannot do everything by himself. Right? I mean, he has really good role players, but that's all they are, the role player. He's somebody else who was like an all-star caliber, like, consistently, right? And Chris Middleton, the reason they lost this year is the reason they won last year, which is durability. They won last year because of durability, and the team was the healthiest at the end of the year. The reason they lost this year is because Chris Middleton wasn't healthy. And there was a couple games to where they kind of, like, masked the fact that he was out. But then it's the NBA, so teams adjusted to it. So all of a sudden, Giannis is going to get Giannis. It is what it is. But if you can just have Giannis do Giannis things and then stop most of what everybody else is doing, you're solid. But when Chris Middleton's out there, that's an immediate double team you can't send to Giannis. Because Chris Middleton is going to knock that thing down from three, going to knock it down from the mid-range, and Giannis doesn't have to focus on scoring. He can just go up there, get that rebound, put back, dunk. Like, he can turn into more of the hustle player that he naturally is, right? So that's one thing. That's the last thing I want to say about Milwaukee. When it comes to the Celtics, they're just Danny Ainge is the man. Like we talked about this before the podcast, Danny Ainge is the man. He really set this team up for the most success. He really, really did. Brad Stevens going to the front office. They got another coach in there who's not just an X's and O's coach, but he's like a hard-nosed players coach. He got them to commit on defense to where they weren't doing it at first. Marcus Smart, he's always been this, but it's really starting to, like, showcase itself to where it's at the benefit of the team almost every single game. Not just here and there, but every single game, he's playing the smartest defense, may shooting the smartest shots as well on the other end. Not great shots, but the smartest shots, right? He's doing everything they need. If you have a 1A, 1B tandem like Tatum and Brown, any game allows the third person to step up. Sometimes it was Al Horford. Sometimes it's Marcus Smart. You know what I mean? And then besides that, all the role players also know their roles. Now, if Chris Middleton's in the game and playing, Milwaukee wins. I truly believe that. But it's basketball. He's out. Boston won. And now we're going to the semifinals. It's going to be a good one, too. It's going to be a good one.
Look, I'm going to be real with you. I think this Heat matchup goes one of two ways. It's a grinded out six games. I don't think it's going to seven. I don't think Miami has enough horses. They just don't. Like, they got good players. It's a good defense. But Jimmy Butler is your leading scorer. And I have no faith if Tyler Hero is supposed to be their number two option, and we're looking at four or five dudes that can really lock down on the perimeter, Hero doesn't really have, like, he ain't got enough juice yet.
If you put Marcus Smart on Hero, Hero don't got the IQ yet. He just going out there and just scoring, shooting, hitting shots. But to play against so far what I've seen, to play against his defense, but more specifically to play against Marcus Smart on the defensive end, who's like leading the defense, and Al Horford's no slouch. Like, he does like the defensive intangible things that like a center needs to do. You know what I mean? You have to outsmart them and outplay them because they're coached very well. The Celtics, they're coached very well. And they play hard and know what they do. And the whole team plays so smart defensively. If they over here taking advantage of KD and Kyrie, I don't know any other duo that can do something with them.
Look, me either. And I think one of the issues for the Heat is they're really similar. Like, all the things that you just said, you can say the exact same things about the Heat. They're just lesser versions. Like, if you go down, like, the roster, it's just less talented, except, like, Bam Adebayo. I think Bam Adebayo matches up well with all of their bigs. Like, unless Williams comes back and is, like, fully healthy, then I think that's Miami Heat's, like, juice is to go to Bam Adebayo, but he's not offensively doing it. Like, at this point in his career, like, he can get you 20, but it's not going to be a pretty 20. Like, it's going to have to be some certain stuff that has to happen for that man.
Al Horford and the Celtics are more athletic than most, too.
Oh, yeah. With Al Horford, they're more athletic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just what it is. Like, this is either going to be a tough series or there's a chance that Miami gets swept. And I am, at this point, I'm going to do it for the rest of y'all because y'all not trying to do it. This is apology season for the Miami Heat. Yes, they've had the easiest path to the Eastern Conference Finals or any conference finals for, like, everybody in attendance. I'll give them that. They played the Atlanta Hawks, and outside of Trae Young, who else can you name that, like, produced in that series? And then they played a hobbled 76ers. So, like, they've had the easiest case. And then when you start looking at their roster and you look at people who are injured or just, like, this is a tough roster, but it's not a good roster. Like, yeah. It's not great. Like, when you go look at Boston, it's like, okay, they got a lot of depth here. When you look at Miami's, it's like, there's a lot of dudes I wouldn't like to fight here.
Look, Boston has two guys. If they continue on the path they're on, they're going to be future Hall of Famers. You have Al Horford, which, if you start getting him rings, boom.
He might.
And then you have the Defensive Player of the Year and the first guard since Gary Payton to get it. That's a lot going on right there in that team. You know what I mean? With the Heat, you have a really good Jimmy Butler. You have a Tyler Hero who's a six, who's going to end up being a good six man. Right? Not all-time great six man, but a good six man. Bam Adebayo is really good, but, like, has he shown to be, like, on trajectory to be, like, all-time anything or really good at anything? You know what I mean? Like, he's a really good power forward.
Yeah.
That's it, though. And I'm not a hater by any means, but, like, that's really all he is. And then Kyle Lowry, who's, like, having hamstring issues.
Right.
I mean, in real life, Marcus Smart and Kyle Lowry do similar things on the court. But one's healthy, one's not healthy. And one doesn't set charges. One plays good on-ball defense and off-ball defense.
And 1'6"4", and still in his 20s.
But also, I'm a Marcus Smart fan. I'm a Marcus Smart fan. Like, I have been for years. Like, ever since Oklahoma State. You know what I mean? Like, I've been a fan, and I'm gonna admit to my biases. Seriously, I'm a fan of his, and Jason Tatum's from Missouri. So I'm also a fan of his too, you know what I mean? But if you just give it a buck and they're all healthy, it don't match up well. It don't match up well at all.
Yeah. No, this is gonna be ugly. I think the real entertainment is gonna be out west with Golden State and in Dallas.
No one in Golden State can stop Luka.
No, but I don't think anybody in the league can stop Luka. Like,
you're right. I hate you're right, but you're right. But in this series particularly, there are people that can match up good against Luka. People are like, oh, Draymond, Luka's going to abuse him. Because Draymond's not quick enough on Luka posts up, fades away, shoots the three, not very many mid-ranges, but, like, doesn't really need to. You know what I mean? Like, and Steph and Klay's going to be abused. And, I mean, and if they're coached well, they do a lot of isolation ball. But if Spencer plays well, if their point guard plays well, if Luka plays well, it's going to be a fun series. Because generally speaking, I would say Golden State's going to really go for it and just like put a foot on them. But they exposed themselves in a couple different ways and got lucky with Memphis. Without Ja, Memphis played the games too close. Now, experience does matter, though. Experience does matter. I think Golden State wins. I hope they don't. But I think Golden State wins the series, though.
Yeah. If Golden State wins, it is going to be game seven or skin of their teeth game six. This isn't the same Warriors team that, like, we've seen. Like, they're not as good defensively as we've ever seen. They're not as good offensively as we've ever seen. Like, Jordan Poole is doing a lot of heavy lifting. And I appreciate that somebody is coming out of the wings for that team. Because I remember when Golden State had the lottery picks. And I was like, oh, we should be scared. Like, that just means they're retooling. So let's say 3 years from now, Jordan Poole is the person that was like, no, we're still here. Like, because honestly, if we take out Jordan Poole, like, maybe they still make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Jordan Poole is carrying them on his back. He's strong. Like, whenever they need to, Klay is looking fine. Has some good games here and there, but generally speaking, he's looking fine. Like, overall, right? Especially in comparison to what he used to be. Steph, wasn't this his worst shooting percentage of his career? Like, for the year? Steph is missing shots that he shouldn't miss. Draymond is playing the exact same thing. I'm not going to get into this. Never mind.
No, it's even a lesser version of Draymond. And I hate to say it because it's Draymond. I mean, young Draymond can shoot a three. You said what?
Young Draymond can shoot a three.
Could he? I mean, we looked up
young the stats. Draymond, not shoot a three. He could shoot it to the point where you wouldn't have to back up on him and he would be no kind of contestant. You know what I mean?
As before the backpack?
I mean, he always been wearing a backpack. But, like, young Draymond. Draymond at some point got – Draymond wasn't always played like young Rondo. You know what I mean? Like, defenses had to get on Draymond at some point.
That's before they looked at the scouting report. That's before it was a scouting report.
It don't usually take years for that to happen, though. At some point, they start really backing up off him, and now he's just not shooting threes at all. But Jordan Poole is doing the heavy lifting for them. Andrew Wiggins, that last game they played against Memphis, he has some very crucial shots for them. Crucial, right? I don't know. But, like, they once got Jordan Poole and the others don't have, like, outside of the three, Dallas don't got much. But Luka controls the game so well that it, I don't know. And if you get Draymond in foul, if you get whoever's guarding Luka, if they get in foul trouble, it's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you can't get in foul trouble. And he's going to, if Draymond guards him, he's going to get in foul trouble. Yeah. And Luka has been shown at this point to be mad competitive. So, like, if you stop him for one game, you're not stopping him for another game. Yeah. Like, it's kind of ignorant how competitive he is.
Yeah. And Draymond Green is the dude, he going to poke the bear. And it's like, hey, of all the people on this court, maybe you should not. I know this is your game, but please stop for the rest of us. Because, you know, at some point, the rookie Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to guard Luka. And that's launch food.
Yeah.
That's like, I've always said when they drafted Kuminga, that's going to be the next person that has to play elite defense. Like him under the tutelage of Draymond Green is just going to bring some stuff out of him that's going to be really good. But that, I always said that's going to take at least 3 years. Like, he has the physicals. He's 6'8". He's strong. He's athletic. But there are times during the game where it's like, he looks lost. And you can't look lost guarding Luka.
You can't
look lost guarding Brunson at this point.
They got big guards who are going to put you in foul trouble because they both post up. They both get to the rim and are crafty.
And Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, we...
we'll see, man. Look, this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun show.
You know, the beauty of this part in playoff basketball, we only got to talk about like 2-3 things.
Facts.
We ain't got to be talking for an hour, even though we did, but that's because Phoenix sucked.
we talk 30 minutes about Phoenix by themselves.
Yeah, because we ain't never seen nothing like that. That's not normal. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. If I paid for NBA tickets, I'd want my money back. Because that was an NBA team at that point.
I had a friend who was there.
Mm. Did he ask for his money back?
Nah, his Snapchat just got real sad.
Hey, I guarantee the alcoholic beverage intake went up significantly throughout that game.
Oh, it had to. People had to get through it.
Yeah. They had to. But thank you guys for getting through this podcast. I know you had some fun with us. Again, you're listening to the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pertigrew Jr. In front of me is my good friend, Philip. And he can go ahead and sign out for us. He ain't no Calvin, though, but, you know, he can do a good job.
All right. Well, I'm Philip Dixon, a.k.a. Mr. Brian B. Shannon. If you made it this far, subscribe down below. Click that bell for notifications. The whole entire gauntlet because we know basketball and you want to hear about basketball. Peace.